this feast of Saint Joseph the Worker used to be much more prominent. It was instituted on May Day, Communist Day, because communists were all workers, or theoretically. And this was to show the sanctity of work. While it is a chore, it's also a means of sanctification. And Saint Joseph, apparently, had a very, you know, nobody knew he was the foster father of the Son of God and the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, he was just doing his job and achieved enormous sanctity. And that's why the church, even now that the May Day stuff is not as big as it used to be, though they're still trying to resurrect it, and they're working in this country to do something. It's been reduced. There are many small and some very large realities mediated in the text we have today. One of the small ones is Barnabas. Barnabas is the one who went and got Paul, the former persecutor, and brought him to Antioch. The whole career of Paul comes through the initiative of Barnabas. Then later, Barnabas and Paul, along with Mark, Barnabas's younger cousin, if I remember, were on a mission. And Mark said, that's enough, I'm going home. And so then when Barnabas wanted to take Mark the second time, Paul said, not that kid, no way. And Barnabas took up for Mark and took Mark with him. So Barnabas and Paul went on two separate missions, and Paul took Timothy. That's why we have the Gospel of Mark. That's why we have St. Mark. So he's a fascinating person, or Barnabas, and a very important instrument in the Lord's plans. And we'll start now from here. We'll start to trace the spread of the church. It's difficult for us to have any idea. How can I say this? No, there isn't anyway. Because Islam from the beginning was a spread out religion, mostly by conquering people and forcing them. But it was, whereas the Jewish people were, all of a sudden, all the blessings of the Jewish people are for the whole world. And some people couldn't get that. And when they did, they said, well, all right, fine. But they certainly have to keep all our observances. We've been keeping these for a millennium. And Paul said, no. No. They are not part of the works of the law that have to be kept. And there was a huge crisis in the early church over this. You remember even Peter, when he was up in Antioch, and the Jews said, are you going to join us or them for meals? I'll join you. Paul stood up and said, you are dissembling. What you're doing is wrong. You're the Pope. I have no problem with that. But you are wrong. So it was, what I'm trying to point out is, it sometimes there's struggle and difficulty in working and yielding to the Lord. This text that we have in, I went too far, the dedication. This is the day that commemorates that time in year 163, I think it was, when they finally overthrew the abomination of the desolation. Antiochus Epiphanes, wanted to conquer Egypt. Well, between where he is in Antioch and Egypt, there's Israel. So he had to conquer Israel. But it wasn't just conquering, see? He wanted to make his religion the religion. Now, his religion was not a religion. It was just worshiping all the gods and sacrificing. And a lot of the Jews sang along with Mitch. You see, it's tough to be faithful under social pressure, which we will experience more and more. And so, finally, as you know, the old man, Eleazar, refused. I will not eat that pork. No. Oh, a little bit. Tell you what, even. Go home and get a piece of beef and eat that, and they'll all think it's pork and you'll be fine. He said, I can't do that. At my age, everybody's saying, old Eleazar abandoned the law of his God and to save his life. And at that point, his son came out of the crowd, killed the guys who were going to torture his father, and hid for the hills. And that's the Maccabees, right? And then they fought. Finally, and by this time, Antiochus had put on the altar of the main altar, the great altar of the temple, he had put this pagan shrine called the Abomination of Desolation, which is what the Jews call it. And so Judas, with remarkable military skill and courage, drove out the whole Assyrian army. And then he went and they destroyed that, and they destroyed the temple, I mean the altar that had been desecrated, and they built a new one. And then they dedicated it. Well, this is another feast that our Lord is replacing. I'm the Passover. You see, I'm Sukkoth. I'm the dedication. I'm the temple. And I'm the altar. And I'm the victim. And so that's what he's telling them here, you see. And this is the, as I've told you before, how John takes every feast of the Jews and shows you Jesus, the Son of God, fulfilling them, bringing them to perfection in himself. Passover, the big one. The biggest one in John goes from chapter 7 down to the end of chapter 9, a little bit into 10 even. The Feast of Sukkoth. In our readings, I don't know why, they never, you see, they go on to our Lord's discourses, but they don't. We're not going to settle that this morning. The point is, you see, my sheep hear my voice. It's the same as yesterday. Right? If you're listening and you follow me, you will have the light of life. That's the voice you listen for. There'll be many voices in your day today competing for your attention and your allegiance. And our day and our prayer is to follow that voice. Well, you've got to know that voice. If you have a friend, close friend, phone rings, you pick it up, they say hello, bing, you know right away who it is. That's the way we have to know his voice. Let's practice. Not just practicing listening, practicing obeying. So then we recognize his voice. And then we understand how he is the fulfillment. He is the temple. He is the altar. You see? He is that place where we actually meet God.